So one thing that press does that social media can't is that press is a really trusted source of information. So if you have a donut shop and you think you have the best donuts in town, if you say that, that comes off very differently than if a third party trusted source of information like the press says you have the best donut shop in town. So getting press coverage really lends your work, your creativity, a different level of credibility in the public's eye.
Welcome to the Creative Chats Podcast with Mike Brennan. Welcome to another episode of Creative Chats. It's the podcast for artists, makers, and content creators where we talk about creativity, creative process, and story. If you'd like to connect with me, you can do so on Instagram. I'm at Mike Bone, or you can check out some of my visual art on my website, which is mikebrennan.me. M-E. Now, before we get into this week's episode, I just want to alert you to an opportunity. If you are a writer or you are someone who is interested in writing, maybe you need some help with identifying next steps. Well, my friends over at Hope Writers have an incredible community where they do just that. They have people that can surround you and help you just really identify what you should be doing, what your next steps are, an encouraging community so that you can get the work that you need to out into the world so that you can get some traction. Because so many times we try and do these things alone and we just end up floundering. And those projects that we hoped to do end up maybe more as good intentions. And so whether you want to write a book or it's getting better writing email copy or captions for social media, whatever it is that takes the form of communicating through writing, our friends at Hope Writers can be of assistance to you. And they are only opening up their membership for a small window. And so right now, this is being recorded September 15th, and you have until September 18th to take advantage of becoming part of their community. If you'd like to find out some more information about it, maybe you took the quiz that I mentioned last episode, you can poke around their website. If you go to this link, which is bit.ly/cchopewriters2. That's bit.ly/cchopewriters2. And when you go to that web address, you'll see some more information about what Hope Writers does, how they help you, what the opportunities are there for you. And you can join in that community if you like. There's a monthly membership, and it's just a great community run by some really amazing people who are doing exciting work. And not only is the work that they're doing important, but they want to help you do important work as well. So if that's of interest, head on over to that website. I'll put that in the show notes as well, so it's really easy for you to connect. Now, on this week's episode, my guest is Ashley M. Biggers. She is a professional journalist, and she loves to come alongside creative entrepreneurs and small business owners. And her byline has actually appeared on CNN, USA Today, and a host of other top sites. And one of the things that I love about our conversation today is that Ashley gives us some very practical advice on how to pitch the media regarding our creativity, our creative projects. Maybe you've written a book, maybe you have a certain body of work you've just completed, maybe you have a creative collaboration you've been working on. Whatever it is, we would love to get the attention of the press to be able to share what it is that we're doing, share our creative projects so we can reach a much bigger audience. Yet so many times we may think, well, maybe our project isn't good enough, or we think, well, I'm not just sure even how to go about doing that. And so in our conversation today, Ashley really unpacks, what do you do when you want to reach out to the press? What steps do you take? What are some things that we should be aware of practically when we do this? And what should we have ready? Because sometimes people come to us looking to feature us, but if we don't have our materials together, if we're not ready for an opportunity, then it can actually do more harm than it can good. So I'm excited And I consider this kind of a part two in the pitching series. If you haven't listened to the last episode with Butch Hartman on how to pitch your idea to Hollywood and a creative team, then I really encourage you to go back and listen to episode 53 and listen to this episode right now with Ashley M. Biggers as we talk about how to pitch to media. Well, Ashley Biggers, welcome to Creative Chats. I'm excited to talk to you today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So before we get too deep into things, why don't you just let us know, who are you? What do you do? Give us like a little, you know, elevator pitch, bird's eye view.
Yeah, so I am a professional freelance journalist. I write for a lot of national and regional publications. And in the past couple of years, I've also kind of branched into the field of educating to talk with people about how to pitch the press, because I, as a journalist, I really saw a disconnect between people understanding how to pitch the press, and I saw that great stories weren't getting told. And ultimately, that's my biggest passion, is to help stories see the light of day. And I didn't want great stories to go untold because people just didn't have that knowledge to pitch the press. So in the past couple of years, I've kind of branched into teaching people how to do that.
That's awesome. I love that you mentioned stories too, because that's something that's close to my heart, is thinking about all things in the context of story. And whether that looks like it's audio, you know, written, visual, whatever form that takes, there are all these stories all around us and within us that need to get out there. So appreciate your work in that.
Absolutely.
So how did you know that this was something that you wanted to do? Like, when you were a kid, was there something that signified to you this was close to your heart? This was something part of your wiring?
Yeah. So even from, you know, my toddler days, I knew that I wanted to be a writer, and I was pretending to write before I could actually, you know, write actual letters and words and sentences. But I just always had this desire to interpret the world through the written word and to observe what was happening around me and to record that and share that with other people. And so I was like in elementary school, like drawing out and handwriting my neighborhood newsletter that I would then like copy and like distribute into my neighbors' mailboxes. So I'm someone who always had that passion and that knack for knowing what I wanted to do. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that I then had a straight path into journalism, but I did have that sense of what I wanted to do from a very early age.
I love that. I had an experience when I was younger. I don't think I've actually ever shared this. I know I haven't shared it on the podcast, but I must have been, I don't know, maybe about 10 years old or so. And I remember that my family had some company over and there were no kids there. And so I was just like checking out, went into my room, and my parents had like an old typewriter. And I took that out and I just started like typing away on it. I had this story that I came up with, like something to do with aliens and whatever it was. I don't remember the particulars, but I just remember sitting there, you know, pecking away at the keys, pretending like, hey, I'm a writer, you know, I'm coming up with the story and just getting lost in this imagination. It was a really awesome thing. And, you know, I enjoy writing. It's not my main, you know, creative expression by any means, but I'm thankful for that ability to really tap into that voice and that, just that means of communication, you know, for people. I think it's really important, regardless of whatever whatever it is that you do, whether that's your main thing or not. I think being able to write well and communicate through that is something that everyone should really be able to pour into more and hone that skill, you know?
I think so too. It's such a valuable means of connecting with other people. And even if it's, you know, not what you feel like is your strongest forte or your spiritual gifting, I think it's always important that people try to delve into it. And even if it's, you know, just writing an Instagram caption to go with their work, that can even be a great means of telling that story and getting across your message.
Yes. I know that I had people telling me early on that, you know, it's great that I can paint a picture or illustrate, you know, something, but to just throw it out there on social media, to just put it up there on my website without any context, really doesn't help anybody. It's not helping me communicate to people, like, why is that important? What was I thinking about when I created that? Is there a story behind that that influenced that? Why should someone else care about this piece of art? And when you start to think about that, your own craft and your own creativity in those terms, I think you really start to identify the importance of being able to communicate those things that are not obvious. You need to go deeper. You need to be able to dig beneath and share those things so that you make a connection with somebody and that they can care about what it is that you do, and then you can serve them, right?
Absolutely. Because there, you know, although each artist's work is unique, there are a lot of people who paint. There are a lot of people who draw. There are a lot of people who do print work or, you know, photography. So not only should your work distinguish yourself, but also you as a person and the individual stories and experiences that you bring to the work and the context that you give to why are you creating what you're creating is really what helps your work stand out to the people who are buying it and also to the press, quite frankly.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did the rest of your journey look like? Right. So that's you as a kid that you're creating these neighborhood newsletters. I love that. And where did it go from there? Like, did you go directly into this as a field? Did you wander around a little bit? I'm curious about that story.
Yeah. So although I knew from a very early age that I wanted to be a writer, my parents didn't necessarily agree with that. And I'm sure a lot of people in creative fields can feel that same experience that, you know, your parents want you to be a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer, something that they perceive as being a safer course through your professional journey. So I always kind of had a sense I wanted to do something in communications, but I didn't have the chutzpah at that time to jump into journalism as a field. So I was literally a senior in college Googling, what should I do with my life? And at some point in those Google search results, I found the AmeriCorps VISTA program, which is actually a domestic Peace Corps program where people spend a year of their lives in service to the country, helping fight the systemic causes of poverty. So I worked with actually an entrepreneurship organization that helped women and people of color grow and start small businesses. And so I was really immersed in entrepreneurship for a year. And throughout the course of that year, I really identified that journalism was the course that I wanted to pursue. And so I went on to graduate school in journalism and then became a magazine editor and a freelance writer. But that experience of working with entrepreneurs really gave me a heart for those who have small businesses. And so a lot of my work in journalism has been profiling creatives and writing about artists and writing about small business owners. And so that's really where the focus of my writing has been since that time.
That's amazing. I love that it's that opportunity that you had to be able to be exposed to entrepreneurship and understand those principles and then apply and contextualize so much of the stuff to your own experiences. And then how it seems like, you know, you're able to use whatever it is, whatever role that you found yourself in, whatever abilities you collected along the way to just keep adding that to your tool belt to be like, this is part of what I'm doing now. This is helping me hone my craft, my voice, my who you want to serve, right? Your audience. And now you're in the place where you're so, you know, talking about pitching to the press, right? It's one of the things that we really want to hone in on today, especially for the audience, because I think a lot of times creative people don't, that's not even a thought on, you know, the horizon anywhere. It's maybe if someone approaches them, then it's a reactionary thing of like, okay, well, I have this opportunity. It seems good, but now what? You know, and then it's a scramble to try to make sure that they get something together. But I think most creative people don't really think about there's opportunity there. And so can you talk to us a little bit about like, why is that so important? And what should that look like?
Yeah. So a few things there. I can certainly, first of all, identify with that creative process because as a writer and an author myself, I am always focused on creating the work and I am, you know, less inclined to want to talk about the work because all of my energy and my passion goes into creating it. And so I forget sometimes that I also need to talk about it and share it with people. But the press and media coverage can really be an important tool in your toolkit alongside, you know, things like social media, where you're getting to talk to your customers or your lectors directly. So one thing that press does that social media can't is that press is a really trusted source of information. So if you have a donut shop and you think you have the best donuts in town, if you say that, that comes off very differently than if a third party trusted source of information like the press says you have the best donut shop in town. So getting press coverage really lends your work, your creativity, a different level of credibility in the public's eye. Also, it helps you build something called social proof. So social proof is the psychological phenomenon that people want to do what other people are doing. And that sometimes we see that go poorly. But in the case of the press, it really establishes you in the public's eye as something that is valid and worth learning more about and following along with. And the press can also usually help you reach far greater audiences than you would be able to on your own, or be able to reach different kinds of audiences than you would be able to do through your social media. And so for those three reasons, it's really an important tool. And because we're talking about, you know, free earned media, there's no cost associated with it other than your time and energy investment, which of course there's a dollar amount related to that, but there's no sort of monetary output. And so particularly right now when we're having, you know, this global pandemic that we're facing and budgets are really tight, what you do have is time and effort, and what you may not have is financial resources. And so this is a great time to use that press and leverage for your business.
Yeah. And I think that's at the heart of entrepreneurship too, which, you know, you got to get scrappy sometimes because you don't have a big budget and you have more time and you have to use your creativity in other ways, not just in your main expression, but also in how do you talk about what it is that you do? How do you show up for people? Thinking, you know, what can I do that I'm not currently doing and how can I maximize that? So obviously not all press opportunities are equal, right? And so how does somebody know where to even start with that? Like what's appropriate for them? What they have a better shot at maybe, you know?
So first off, my biggest piece of advice to people is always just to start with reading, watching, and listening to places in the press that you might want to see your work featured. So if you have a magazine that you always read and admire, whether that's Southwest Art or an online outlet like Art News, really read and invest your time in checking out those publications, because you'll start to see patterns and you'll either start to see stories that are similar to yours or you won't. And if you won't, that or don't, that's still good information because you know that you probably need to approach another outlet. But if you do see stories that are similar to yours or work that is similar to yours, you know that they'll want to cover something like what you create. And you'll also start to see, gosh, you know, Ashley Biggers always writes about that particular thing. And so you know that you can approach her as an individual journalist rather than this like behemoth organization where you're never quite sure where your information or your pitch is going to end up. You can really start to establish a working relationship with that particular journalist so that they get invested in and familiar with your work, which could lead to press coverage. So that's my biggest piece of advice in terms of just getting started. And it's really easy to do is just to start reading, watching, and listening to those places that you want to check out.
Mm, yeah, that you're a fan already.
Yeah,
right? And also
you're a fan already.
Like giving information to the people so that they know that you're not just, you know, copying and pasting a cold call email with no context, but, you know, dropping in clues of like, hey, I have been reading, I have been watching, I am familiar with the particulars of your, you know, magazine or your, you know, company. And the other thing too, I think this had dawned on me a while ago, is the fact that, you know, most people on when they're thinking about pitching for the press, don't think about the fact that there's actually a need on the other side, right? That that people are looking for stories. They're looking for opportunities to put some things in. And so that's part of their job. And if you can come prepared and presented well, you're actually helping them do their job. It's not just this one-sided, like, hey, please pick me. Hey, please put me out into the press. You know, it's not this begging kind of like groveling type of thing. It's really more of just trying to match that opportunity with the correct, presentation and again, fulfilling a need on the other side, right?
Absolutely. Well, there is a greater need than ever before for stories, because even, for example, monthly print magazines also have an online presence, and they have to file stories on an ongoing basis. And the media works on a 24-hour news cycle now. And so there is this voracious hunger for stories and great stories to tell. And as journalists, we are really tapped for time. And so if you approach us with an idea that is relevant to us, you're really helping us out, because we don't always have the time that we need to go out into the community and just search vastly for these stories. So you really are helping out. And a key word that I touched on there was relevancy. So the other thing that will happen, as you've noted, by checking out those media outlets, is you'll start to see what certain journalists type cover and what certain outlets cover. And so one of the best ways to help your pitch stand out from the pile is to show that you're fulfilling a need, to show how your story fits in with what they already cover. So for example, I've gotten a pitch where I just wrote an article about craft breweries. And so someone would approach me and say, hey, I noticed you wrote this story about craft breweries. Did you know about my craft distillery that also uses local botanicals in our work? So they know it dovetails into my work, but it also stands out and is something slightly different and provides a new angle to what I cover. And so just showing that you do know what they need and fulfilling that need makes your email rise to the top of the stack.
Yeah. And I think even before that, there's this obstacle of, having this thought of, okay, is what I have to talk about really worth press? Like, I'm doing my thing, I think it's important, but why should someone else really care about that? And why should something on a grand scale, why should anybody care about it? How do you encourage someone to get past that mentality?
I know for sure that in the creatives that I've written stories about, that nothing makes imposter syndrome crop up faster than having to interact with the press, and not only interact with the press, but have the gumption to really put yourself out there and approach the press and sort of claim space in that way. So I certainly understand that feeling. I would say, first of all, your work has merit, your story has merit. And if you need to, post a little post-it note on your computer to remind yourself of that as you're writing your pitches, please do. So it's absolutely valid to put yourself out there in terms of growing your business and spreading the word, because if you are an artist, if you are passionate about your work, then you probably also have a message that you want to share with the world, whether that's just a message of aesthetic beauty or one of, social change or political message, you have a message. And so a way to get that out into the world is by approaching the press. And so instead of thinking of it as trying to sell yourself, which can feel really uncomfortable to a lot of people, I would recommend just kind of leaning on your story and leaning on your message and focusing on that aspect of it and thinking about that that's what you're sharing, not that you're trying to sell work. Because also, the press is looking for great stories. They're not looking to help you sell your work. If you do sell your work, great, we're excited about that for you. But what our ultimate goal is to deliver great stories to our audience. And so I've had, you know, people pitch me about, for example, their blog, and they've said in the pitch letter, I want you to cover me so that my blog audience grows. It's like, well, that's great, but that's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in getting great information to my readers. And so that's not a good tactic to take with me anyway. So anybody that has a great story or a great message will get so much further in the pitch process than if they're trying to sell.
Mm. Yeah, that's great advice, because then it's not looking like a grab for attention, a grab for, you know, like you said, growing an audience or selling products, which then takes it into a whole nother type of feel. And nobody likes that. Nobody wants to be kind of pitched to in that regard. That's the sleazy salesman type stuff.
Right. Like, think about if you're at a cocktail party and somebody just comes up to you without even knowing who you are, knowing anything about you, and starts selling you on something. You find an excuse to, you know, get away and go get another cup of punch very quickly.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's how it feels as a journalist when you get pitched by somebody you don't know who's instantly trying to sell something. Mm. You just try to get away as quickly as you can. Whereas if someone approaches you with genuine interest in you and has something that you can connect on and you can mutually be interested in, that's when you get a conversation started.
Yeah. So one of the other things I can hear already rising in the minds of some of the listeners is, okay, this is great. I like what you're talking about, but it just seems like it's an awful lot of work on the research end of things, right? So how do you do it successfully where it's not like, okay, this becomes a whole other full-time job, right? But that you can actually identify the best opportunities, the best organizations that you want to come around, and do it in a timely way, in a way that's manageable. Do you have any tips for that?
Absolutely. So I can certainly understand that question, because a lot of us as creatives, we're not just the creative, we're also the marketing department and the accounting department and the janitorial staff. So I do understand that, you know, this can feel like adding something else to your plate. My biggest piece of advice, and something that works for me, is just to take it in little chunks and to say, okay, I'm going to work on this for 15 minutes every day. And maybe that 15 minutes is reading a magazine article or listening to a podcast or watching a TV show to check out what they're doing that day. And just to, over time, kind of grow a list of places that you think would be interested in covering your work, you know, starting with the things that you really enjoy. Maybe even asking your audience or your customers or collectors what they like, because if they're looking at it, then that means you're going to reach more people like them. So that can help you grow your list. And then over time, just kind of chipping away at it. And then, you know, one day getting up the gumption to send that pitch. And then you do need to, you know, follow up on that pitch and keep that relationship going and continue pitching. Because one of the biggest things that I see people do incorrectly and that they don't get any momentum going is they pitch one time and they don't get a response. And so they're like, well, that didn't work. Right. And they just tap out from the process. And unfortunately, this is a process. So you need to treat it like one and be able to send that pitch and then follow up on it and send another one, mm-hmm. follow up on that one. If you do have some event coming up, like a show opening or something, you could also, you know, use that as a drop dead date and back up and set yourself some mini goals weeks and months in advance of that, so that you make sure you stay on track leading up to this big event. So you can make sure you're reaching out to the press in a timely manner before that timely happening.
Yeah. So it sounds like a lot of organization and systems really would be helpful to put into place, which I know sometimes, as far as creative people, we're not the greatest with that. I know myself, you know, on the organizational chart, it's a little sideways. And so it's a little more effort to try to make sure that some of those systems get in place and some of the information that you need to track down, that you're tracking that and you have your, you know, spreadsheets or whatever it is. And that's like an ugly word for creative people.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I was going to say, I use a spreadsheet and then I was like, oh no, that won't go over well. No. Maybe a whiteboard or
yeah, exactly.
A little
post-it notes, whatever it is.
Post-it notes, you know, a piece of in your sketchbook.
Exactly.
One sheet devoted to that. Any way that you can kind of just make a note of that right. would be helpful.
Yeah. And so let's talk practical now, because if someone's like, okay, you got my attention, you've convinced me that this is something that I should be paying attention to and doing, what do I do? Like, what does this look like? Are there resources available that can help me know what to say, what not to say, how to approach this? Is there a formatting that's involved? What are the things that I send along with it, if anything, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah. So first of all, my website, howtopitchmedia.com, every week I blog and I offer, you know, tips on how to do all of these things that we're talking about. So if you want to dive into this, you can head there and check all that information out. You can also get at howtopitchmedia.com/pitch-cheat-sheet. You can download a sheet that gives you kind of all the essentials that kind of help you break down that process. So those are handy resources to have, but just to give people some tactical information today. So you definitely want to send journalists an email initially for a couple reasons. One, you can certainly engage with them on social media, but that's, we can talk about that in a minute if you like. That's a whole nother world. But what happens if you pitch them on social media is oftentimes that pitch can get lost in all the other interactions that are taking place on social media. Whereas if you send them an email, then, you know, I instantly have sort of a silo of ideas going in my inbox. And so even if it's not a fit right then, it might become a fit for an article later on. And so then I have a record of that communication and then can reach back out to an artist. Because, for example, I've followed up with people 6 months or even a year after they initially reached out to me, because at that time I was like, well, I don't have a fit for this, or I just covered something that's like what you're proposing, and so I can't do it again for a while. So email is always best. Definitely not phone calls. or if you do meet someone in person, you can absolutely talk with them about it in person. But even if you do, follow up via email so that there's a record of that conversation. And the pitch should really kind of start out with, here's why this idea is relevant to you. The next sentence should be, here's why this is new, different, interesting, exciting, noteworthy, like something to kind of catch their attention and get them excited about telling that story. Particularly for artists, you don't want to attach a lot of information or photos or anything to those emails, because the journalists won't usually open them. But if you want to set up a Dropbox or point them to a gallery on your website or something like that, absolutely provide that link so that they can go and look at your work and explore it further. Just don't clutter up that email with all of the attachments right away.
Mm. That's really, really helpful insights. And I think knowing some context there is going to really help people be set up for success. One of the things that someone encouraged me earlier on to do too was to have a media kit put together, which basically would just be my, you know, artist statement bio, my social media handles, you know, any relevant information along with some photos that's already available. Because one of the things that, you know, eventually this will happen. Someone will come to you and will ask you for some information, will ask you for something, and you're not ready. And then you're scrambling, and then you don't have the wherewithal to really make sure that what you're putting together is quality and presented the best way, because you're scrambling. And so to do this in advance, knowing that I can update it as I need to, but it's there. And I can simply just send somebody either a link, like I have a hidden web page where I can just send somebody to and they can download whatever it is that they need. But it's there, it's waiting, it's ready. Those kind of tips really were helpful for me, you know, in that regard. And again, not even early on in my journey thinking about those things, thinking about someone would want that information, someone needs that, you know, what do I need to list in there? So the things that you're talking about really, really helpful to really set someone up for success in that regard, not sending a slew of visuals or video clips or those kind of things, having that stuff ready, but not just coming out of the gate with everything, you know, cramming into this email, right?
Yeah. So your initial pitch should really be as brief as possible. It might only be three sentences, you know, and that could be sufficient to entice the journalist into learning more information. And a media kit, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is a little, you don't have to have a media kit to reach out to a journalist, but if you really want to invest in this process and you really want to have all the tools available to not only earn media coverage, but also make sure there's accuracy in the reporting process, a media kit is an essential tool, and that's one of the things that you can link out to. And so having an artist statement, a bio or an extended CV, whichever you prefer, having a picture of yourself that's also high resolution and not just, you know, a blurry cell phone pic, and then pictures of your work available, that kind of having those kinds of resources available might even entice the journalist to cover your work, because they, no matter what medium we're working in, we always have to think about visuals. And so knowing visuals are already available, especially if they're great ones, then that will help encourage us to want to cover you. And also, journalists are notorious for like not getting back to you and then getting back to you and needing everything yesterday. Yes. And I recognize that I do that too. And I feel bad about it, but sometimes it's just the nature of our industry. And so if you prepare all those things in advance, as you say, you won't be scrambling. You won't be thinking, you know, oh, where's that picture? Or my photographer hasn't gotten that studio shot back to me of, you know, this particular piece. So just having all those things at the ready will be a great advantage to everyone in the process.
Yeah. Yeah. I had the opportunity to be a designer for several magazines. And so even being a part of that process and system, you know, having the advantage to know, like, yeah, on the other side, like when someone provides as much as possible, it makes everyone's life easier. And when Absolutely. It's quality stuff, so that someone doesn't have to take the time on the other end to go looking for other resources or other, you know, visuals or things. And then again, like you said, the accuracy is going to be so much better if it comes from you and it's been prepared and it's quality.
Right. Because I'll go to interview artists and I'll say, like, what year was that exhibition? Or what year did you win that award? And those are important things for the reporting process and for accuracy. And they won't remember because I'm giving them a pop quiz about their life. I don't blame it on them at all. But if you can sit down and think about all those things in advance and then have a resource to share with the journalist that answers those kinds of questions, it makes it more comfortable for you so that you don't feel put on the spot. And then also the journalist has all the information they need to report thoroughly and accurately.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good stuff. So are there any other tips real quick, like that you might be able to give someone who's thinking about this? You're like, okay, you've convinced me, this is good. You've given me some practical things as far as you have a resource on your website, which we're going to link in our show notes so that people can go there very easily, and highly recommend that, you know, people check that out, download that, and follow you for more stuff. But just as a any other thing that you'd want to really make sure that someone knew about this process or why it's so important.
So I would definitely recommend to people that they think about it as establishing relationships with journalists and not just trying to get coverage from one person one time. There have been numerous artists that I have over the past 20 years of my writing that I have come back to and written about time and time again for different publications because they've had different shows or they've had, you know, a community fundraiser that they're doing or whatever happens, that I've been able to cover over many times over the years because they've stayed in touch with me and kept me apprised of what they're working on and what they're doing. And so don't just think of it as trying to get, you know, a big hit one time. Really think of it as establishing a relationship with that person. And so don't be afraid to pitch somebody, and after they give, you know, cover you in an article or do a TV story, you know, write them a thank you note for that coverage, and then follow up in 6 months or a year and let them know again what you're working on. And maybe they don't bite right at that moment, but just keeping that communication line open can really lead to more press over time. And that helps all that time and effort that you have to put in to get those initial stories really pay dividends for you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that, and keeping it in context of relationship, because so often these things may feel foreign to us and may feel like it's more business. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, we can flip a switch very easily and go into this mode of doing things and reacting in ways that we would never do so personally.
Right.
And so the whole idea of, yeah, like keep it relational, you know, follow up, be someone who cares about more than just what's going on in your presenting need. Look to serve people, look to be an encouragement and a help. And that stuff goes a really long way, because think about, you know, if someone was to come to you and do that, how much that means. Well, do right. that for other people as well. Right. And I think then you have much better odds of succeeding in some things and having opportunities come that maybe you couldn't even plan for, right?
Absolutely. And I kind of teased working with journalists over social media. So I just want to say that really social media is great for this relationship building, because you can start following journalists that you want to work with and publications you want to be featured in, but not pitch them. You could just comment on the articles that they're posting and just start interacting with them in that way, so that they start to become familiar with your name. And maybe, you know, they are enticed to go and check out your Instagram account and see your work. And so then maybe that does open a door for coverage later on, but you can start the relationship building that way. And so it doesn't feel so foreign to just write them a cold pitch when you do get to that point.
Yeah, that's great advice. So we're coming to the top of our time, but is there anything maybe that someone has given you a piece of advice that's really been instrumental for your own path, your own creativity, your own business, that you'd love to share with the listeners today?
Yeah. So one of my favorite pieces of advice is actually from a painter, Rhett Lynch, who is a Navajo painter who works in contemporary sort of genre. And he started as a professional painter when he was 16, and he's now in his 60s. And so we were talking about the longevity of his career, and he just told me, always keep showing up and doing the work. And he said, sometimes you show up and you feel passionate and creative and you produce the best thing that you've ever created. And some days you show up and you sweep the floor. But no matter what you're doing, you're always working towards your dreams, your creativity, you know, your passions. And you just work with what you have that day, but you just keep showing up.
Awesome. Love that advice. So great. And no matter where you are in your career or your path, it's still the same. Just show up, do the work, do the right next thing. That's what I talk right. about a lot too. Yeah.
Yeah.
This has been so helpful, so valuable. I know that everyone's going to really enjoy diving into this. If they haven't been thinking about this, now they are. And that there may be opportunities for people that are to come that I'm excited about for them. And I, again, thank you so much for the information you've shared, and for, you know, the resource you have on your website that you shared. Again, we'll put that link in the show notes. Where else can people find you? Where else can they follow you and kind of keep tabs with you?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram and Facebook also at How to Pitch Media. So you can head over there to get, you know, pitch tips about what you might be working on right now and get some inspiration to keep going in this process so that more great stories are told.
Awesome. And I encourage everyone to make sure you do that as soon as possible. So thank you so much today, Ashley. I appreciate your time and your wisdom and being able to share these things to help fellow creatives in their endeavors. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. I'd appreciate if you would subscribe, leave a rating and a review. It really helps this podcast be seen and heard by others.